is Ellen Warren from Geeks Unite Board Game Cafe, and I was really excited during my quest to find more and more games in Pittsburgh that I came across Victory Point. I'd heard a few people talk about this place, but I hadn't been here until just now, and boy, am I just blown away. And I'm here now with Joe.
Howdy.
Joe is here as one of the co-owners of Victory Point. And I was just so excited about it, I had to share with everybody what I found out about this place. So, anyway, Joe, why don't you start off with telling me a little bit about this place, what's your idea, what's your dream
well,
is here?
I've always been a fan of gaming, but I was also a fan of sort of in-person social gaming.
Okay.
And with the advent of online gaming, it becomes less and less common. Now, board gaming, admittedly, is still usually done in person, although you do have things like Roll20 and stuff online and Tabletop Simulator, so it can happen. But we also have arcade and video games, which have almost exclusively shifted over to online play. And so I wanted to create a space where people could come who maybe and just feel comfortable playing games, and people of all sorts, experienced, inexperienced, whatever, and just provide a place for people to meet, play games, be friendly, and actually have some face-to-face interaction.
That's fantastic. That's actually what I founded my little hobby on, Geeks Unite, is my motto is unplug, reconnect, and unite.
Yep.
So we seem to have like the same idea. Let's get away from the electronics and sit down and really play some games.
Admittedly, I do love arcade games. That's what I grew up with, and we do have a first floor arcade. And the thing I liked about it was that you would still be face-to-face, despite it being, you know, an electronic game. I grew up playing Street Fighter. I have tattoos from it and everything. And so I love that. And as far as board games go, I like being able to sit around. I love miniatures. I love just the variety of games, especially in sort of this board game renaissance we've had in the last decade or so.
Oh, it really has. It's blown me away as well. Okay, so if somebody comes into Victory Point, what can they expect when they come in? Can you tell me a little bit of how your pricing
and
what they expect when coming in here?
So we have two floors.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom floor is an arcade and just has milkshakes, which are delicious. And the second floor has all of our board games, our console games, and our virtual reality. And so the arcade and console games and board games are available under a wristband that costs $6.99 per hour. Additionally, if you just want to use the board game library, that's $6.99 and includes soda, coffee, and tea. And because board games tend to run longer than an hour, it lasts the entire time we're open.
Oh, okay, so one price for all the board games. Okay.
Yep, and so once you come in, we have about 300, maybe 350 board games. They run the gamut from extremely short games to extremely long games,
mm-hmm.
and all sorts of heaviness / complexity. We also, so long as we aren't super overwhelmingly busy, which is generally Friday and Saturday nights,
okay.
we're happy to come and teach any board games. And even if we can't do a full like tutorial for the games, we're always happy to, we know the rules to most of them. Myself or Allegra, who is the other manager, can pretty much help people through any of them. So it's good if you, maybe there's a game you want to play and you feel a little overwhelmed about setup or about rules, or you have friends who are rules lawyers and you want a neutral party. So we do offer that as well.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Okay, so you know, we are like kindred spirits here.
Mm-hmm.
We're both in the same headspace. But you know what? There's folks out there that this stuff might look like, oh, they're just video games or it's just for hardcore gamers. What would prompt somebody that's not familiar with this, how would they feel comfortable coming in here?
Well, we do get a lot of parties. And quite often, we have groups of people who say they've never played a board game or anything, and they eventually get into it. Now, admittedly, there's a lot of party and social games that are sort of good for easing someone in,
mm-hmm.
because most people now are familiar with Cards Against Humanity, as it's had such a... Yeah. But there are some other interesting games that are similar in scope and even similar mechanically. I mean, apples to apples is the original, but beyond that, there's stuff like Fun Employed, which gets a lot of people into it. There's a game I love called Spyfall. Yeah, Spyfall is a great game.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah. those are both really good ones to bring people into it. Some other ones that have been really good for people who maybe aren't sure about games, but at least a little interested, Dixit is a really good one. And what's nice is there's actually sort of a ramp up you can do where if someone likes Dixit, you can move them to Mysterium, which uses sort of similar base mechanics but adds more game on top of it. And we like to just make suggestions or give people games. Like, people will sometimes come in, and if we see them gravitating towards sort of the classic games like Scrabble, Monopoly, Jenga, whatever, I will sometimes go over and recommend some other stuff. I've also become a bit of a connoisseur of games for two people, because a lot of games, even if they do support two players, don't play well with two players. And so, since we get a lot of dates in here, I like to find board games that can work. Some that I've seen that people have gotten really into, despite them maybe being a little on the initially more complex side, are Seven Wonders Duel.
Just got that, and I absolutely love
that
mechanic.
Yeah, love it too. Machi Koro is a very fun game with two players, and since the base mechanic is just dice rolling, and it sort of has its own built-in difficulty curve, because as you start, you only have to worry about one number.
Okay.
And then they as you build your things, they grow. Additionally, one of my favorite two-player games, although it's a bit of an intense one, is Space Hulk. And we have fully painted set of miniatures for it. So it's always just really fun to get out and set up. And the game, because it is on a very strict time limit, you actually have a little sand timer that you flip, goes by much faster than you might expect for a game that is as intense in appearance as it is.
Oh, yep, I've definitely heard about that. There is also a line out. It's a little bit older, but it's called Cosmos. Begins with a K, and they were strictly two-player games. I actually have a big stack of them at home.
I have not played any of them as far as I know.
Yep.
That's interesting.
So if
I will check that out. I am interested.
If you're interested in those two-player games, that's I have to admit my favorite is Jambo. Which is Swahili for hello.
Yes, I've heard of it.
Good.
Yeah.
And if you get it, you have to get the expansions because it's super cool. But anyway, so as we were talking about, you're trying to get folks together for two-player, it sounds sort of like you have maybe other events that you might have going on here.
Absolutely. So we do have a weekly D&D game, which is occurring outside. If you hear yelling and laughter, they're fighting. I think they just released a djinn or a genie.
Nice.
Yeah, they weren't supposed to. The DM was like, I didn't expect you to just let him free, but so I think they may be in trouble right now. We do have that. It is a pickup game, but at the moment it is full, unfortunately. But, you know, if you stop by and ask us about it, we're sometimes willing to start a second table or things. We sometimes will have board game days where we pick a particular, generally a more complex or like visually impressive game and set it up in advance and we'll run people through it like demos or whatever. We've done.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we didn't.
Is the D&D the same as the board game? It's just.
Yes.
Same. $6.99?
Yep.
Okay.
And what was it? Oh, we did previously Star Wars Imperial Assault, which is the Descent Engine based game. And then on Halloween, we did Mansions of Madness.
Did you run at least one Arkham Horror?
Yeah.
Good.
Mansions is actually a spinoff from Arkham Horror.
Yeah, that and Elder Sign, too.
Which Elder Sign is a fun little game.
I can't put that one down.
Have you actually, just unrelated, but have you tried Pandemic, The Cure?
Oh, not The Cure. The Brink, the original and The Brink. And every time I bring that somewhere, somebody's got to play it.
Interesting.
I've not heard that one.
Another cooperative. Oh, cooperative games are another thing that I like to introduce people to because most people have not ever played a cooperative game. And so it tends to be interesting when you get a group that doesn't specifically want to fight with each other but are interested. And we have quite a few. One interesting one is a game called Dead Men Tell No Tales, which is sort of pirate pandemic in that it's crew of pirates attempting to rob a sinking ship, and you're fighting against the ship being on fire and flooded and filling with skeletons, which are basically the various diseases from pandemic.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I think why it's so intriguing personally about cooperative games is because we grew up with games where we just competed with each other or raced for the flag or something like that. And then it's almost mind-blowing to think, wow, we work together against the game. And I think that's like, wow, it's like such an epiphany when I think people hear about those kind of games.
There's also even, speaking of electronic games, what's interesting is some of the cooperative games now have AI that, rather than running off cards or whatever, runs off an application on your phone or on a tablet. For instance, Fantasy Flight has a couple. They have a modification to Imperial Assault that runs the GM as just a tablet app. The second editions of Mansions of Madness is a pure cooperative game against the board. And what's really neat about it is the fact that everything is controlled by the app means that there's a fair bit of surprise, because sometimes it may just be like, go find this piece you didn't know, and you're in a completely hidden room that wasn't on the map when you started. And stuff like that is neat. And then XCOM,
okay.
And Scythe, I know, has a fully cooperative mode in addition to its multiplayer mode that uses like an entire deck of artificial intelligence cards to add some randomization.
Isn't there one that's a crime of...
Detective Hong Kong, or...
There's one that it's a board game and some sort of a digital media.
Hmm.
I thought it was crime. Come on, Alan, throw me a lifeline. You're the one that told me about this game, and it's not coming to me. Anyway,
it's not coming to me.
I'll put it up there anyway. So it's just really interesting. Like I said, there's just been a real surge in it, and even better yet, with these folks that do role-playing, that more games are coming out in a boxed version of RPGs, which has my heart right then and there.
Yeah.
But anyway, I also heard you have tournaments. Is that right?
We do. So specifically, we run a bi-weekly tournament for Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a monthly Pathfinder open event that you can...
The Society?
Yep. You can check out Pathfinder Society, and they're here usually the third or fourth Sunday of each month.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you're curious about any of our events, you can check out our Facebook.
Okay.
Additionally, we don't run tournaments for it, but we run a really fun Hearthstone event.
Yeah.
Which is another game that bridges sort of digital and physical, in that it's a card game, but a card game that is played online. But what's interesting about that one is they have a whole supported thing online, and if you come in and play here, you can get free promo cards and stuff, which is pretty neat.
So is it sort of like Pokemon Go in a way? What's Hearthstone about?
Okay, so Hearthstone is a descendant of a physical trading card game, which was the World of Warcraft trading card game, which was made by Upper Deck in the early aughts.
Okay.
And when Upper Deck lost the license for one, I think it was Cryptozoic.
Okay.
It might have started Upper Deck and then became Cryptozoic. But either way, eventually the company that makes World of Warcraft, Blizzard, reacquired the license to their own trading card game. And they sort of made their own version, but it's exclusively digital. But it is entirely a trading card game. In fact, there are some people who have played it using physical cards and stuff in reality. And so it's a fun game if you like games like Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh! Because it is a trading card game, deck building, everything. But what's nice about it is, even if you aren't good at the rules for those kind of games, or you feel like that is going to trip you up, the fact that it's a digital game means that you can't ever misplay. Well, except when there's a bug. Sometimes there have been bugs. But yeah. But it's a neat little game. It's a good introduction for people who want to get into card games and are maybe scared of the whole, you know, seeing people with binders and long boxes of cards. And they want to sort of get into that without all the physical accoutrement. Yeah, Hearthstone is definitely a fun one. It's one I personally like just because I always enjoyed World of Warcraft and I played the trading card game pretty heavily back in the day. And so myself and my partner, since we play it, we like to host the events here. And if you do come down for that, you will get Nemzi the Warlock, who is one of the promos, and you will get the Tavern card back, which is another promo. Additionally, we do periodic mini painting events.
Nice.
Yep, we've done a couple of paint and takes. We're looking at doing another one probably in March or April.
Do you run it personally, or do you have...
Yes, myself and my partner, Jen, run it.
Okay.
Yep, because we've both been mini painting for a long time. We also will sometimes have other people in. When we first opened, we did a couple of classes with a local painter named Carrie. and she's also done a lot of our miniatures that we provide to players who want to play games with painted miniatures but maybe don't have the time to do it themselves. We have several different games where we have the whole set of miniatures for them painted. Space Hulk, Imperial Assault,
okay.
Assassinorum Execution Force. That one's a mouthful. Shadows of Brimstone.
That's a big. Is that D&D? Is that World of Warcraft? I mean,
no.
Wizards of the Coast is what I meant to say.
No, Shadows of Brimstone is by Flying Frog.
Oh,
who
okay.
Who did
Last Night on Earth.
And,
I just caught that last week.
Yeah, one of my favorite games that most people don't like, Fortune and Glory.
They did that too.
Yeah, but Shadows of Brimstone is a Cthulhu-themed Wild West, which is a really cool setting.
Okay.
Yeah, where you're various...
I like that. Okay.
Yeah, various cowboys and, like, I think there's a missionary, a couple of Native American characters, a few just ranchers, and one or two ladies of the night who you can take into these abandoned mines that happen to not just be mines, but portals to the world of Lovecraftian horror.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah.
I'm hooked. I've got to give it a try.
Yeah, it's a cool game, and it has very simple mechanics,
mm-hmm.
but it has structure for, like, a whole D&D-style campaign. And what's nice is each one of those is a different campaign, and you can run it in a single long sitting or across maybe like 8 to 10 hours total play. And we've actually had a group come in, I mentioned it before we started recording, who came in on a Saturday and stayed for 10 hours and did an entire campaign.
That is so cool. Well, let me ask one more question. I sort of asked it, but, like, let's just pretend somebody, like I said, is intimidated by coming in here, and they come into the door. What should they do when they first come in? It's like, okay, this is scary. First thing I see is video games. Is that what this place is? Okay, but what do I do now? Should they proceed to the table?
Generally, whoever is working will try to come and greet you unless we are completely
overwhelmed. Remember, Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah. But even if we don't, I'm always happy to talk to anyone, to suggest or introduce games. I got into this, you know, I chose to open this place because I enjoy sharing this thing I'm passionate about with others.
Yeah.
Additionally, you know, our space tries really hard to be welcoming to people of all genders, races, sexual orientations. We have a zero tolerance policy on people who demean others for any reason. I've kicked people out for saying various slurs
to
others.
Oh, man, that's so awesome.
Yeah, and a lot of our staff represents different groups who are underrepresented in the gaming world in general,
mm-hmm.
and so we always try to have some staff members on hand who everyone can feel comfortable with, who they can talk to and get advice from, etc. So we're definitely a friendly environment. It's part of our ethos, and it's something we really go for. So even if you're intimidated by the usual gaming crowd, I think that the way we try to run things does bring us a bit more variety. And even while you're here, if you saw our D&D group, it's not what you would think of as, like, the typical D&D group.
So these, like, so what kind of people, like you said, the D&D group may not be your typical people. So what kind of people would I see if I walked in here typically then?
All sorts. I know we...
Several, like a couples event?
We definitely have had couples events. We've had fundraisers for the LGBTQ community. Several of our staff members are members of and active in the LGBTQ community. We've had just all sorts of people. We just want people to see that gaming isn't necessarily this hobby that is only run by, like, white dudes. Which, unfortunately, you know, can sometimes feel like the case, especially online, where there's this innate assumption of who you're playing with being the stereotypical gamer. And so, yeah, we like to just invite as many people as possible and get just a variety of different types of perspectives, because I think that's one of the cool things just with board games. Like, a lot of this collection started out as mine, but we've gotten all the staff members have picked certain games and added them. And so it's really interesting to see the huge gamut from things like Warhammer 40,000 in the absolute grimdark to a game that I now absolutely love, one of my favorite games of all time, is a game called Dream Home. It's a drafting game about house flipping, where it is your goal to make the most appealing house with all of the various renovations and, like, decorations. And, yeah, I do not, as someone who definitely fits sort of the gamer stereotype, you would not expect one of my favorite games to be a game about interior decorating. And it is, because I think that's one of the great things about having a variety of perspectives, because that is not a game that I would have probably given a second look, you know, before I had started broadening my horizon.
Oh, this is... thanks, Steve. I mean,
Joe, it's cool.
Where did Steve come from? I have no idea. I have this alternate life I think I'm living. I don't know. Any rate, it's been a real treasure. I mean, you've been really awesome to talk to.
Well, thank you.
Your enthusiasm is infectious. I have to admit, when I first heard about it, honestly thought this was just an arcade.
Yeah.
Video, I honestly thought that. And I am so surprised to see it is so much more. I mean, not just a few things. It's really full of a lot of things to do.
Well, I think initially it became known as just an arcade because when we first opened, that was the part that we had running.
That's probably where I got
it. Yeah,
from.
And then, because it took us longer, and we're still sort of, as you can see, always in the midst of improving. And so it took us longer to staff the second floor and get all the board games organized and everything. And because arcade machines, for better or worse, you plug them in and they're ready in general. So yeah, when we first opened, we did sort of a soft open for a little bit as just the arcade. And so that's kind of what a lot of people heard about us as. And yet we do have this entire board gaming and console gaming and everything else. It's more just a place for social gaming of all types. Any type of gaming that involves playing a game with someone face-to-face, be it digital, physical, or a combination of the two, we try to have that.
Wow. Thank you, Joe.
No problem.
I really appreciate your time. I know you're really busy. Thank you for taking a few minutes out and telling me about this amazing place that I wish I had seen sooner. Thank you again.
Yep. Thank you.